Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. And as you listen today, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, just please pass it along to them. Well, we are just a few weeks away from Easter, where we will celebrate the Passion of our Christ. And over these next couple of weeks, we'll journey to the cross and to the empty tomb with three women of the Bible who have a few things in common. First, they each were named Mary. Mary of Nazareth, which is Jesus's mother, of course, Mary of Bethany, and Mary Magdalene. And more importantly than just having their first names in common, they also shared a love for Jesus as their Savior. So we'll begin our journey today with Mary of Nazareth, Jesus' mother. Now, most people, believers and even non-believers, know the name of Jesus' mother. If you were to go out on the street and do an interview of men on the street kind type and ask who was Jesus' mother, what was her name, most of them have heard the Christmas story often enough, even non-believers, that they could probably identify Mary. But after the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus, what do we know about Jesus' mother, Mary? Well, we see her shortly after Jesus' birth, a week or so after, when Mary and Joseph went to the temple in Jerusalem to have Jesus dedicated to the Lord. That is just such a tender phrase in Scripture, to have the Lord dedicated to the Lord, if you will. But that was the custom of the day, and Mary and Joseph absolutely were going to honor that. Well, it was there at the temple in Jerusalem that Mary and Joseph met Simeon. Simeon was a devout Jewish man who had been waiting all of his life to see the hope of Israel, the promised Savior. He'd been waiting and watching all of his life. And in came Mary and Joseph. And moved by the Holy Spirit, he knew that that baby was special. We read it in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. Luke 2, starting in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, you, as you have promised, you now can dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, Mary lived with that prophecy from Simeon all throughout Jesus' life. She couldn't have known the full extent of its meaning then, of course, but perhaps she got a taste of the sword piercing her heart. Well, about 12 years later, Mary, Joseph, and 12-year-old Jesus were back in Jerusalem to celebrate the annual feast of Passover. And after a week of celebrations there, they were traveling back to Nazareth with all their family and friends when they realized Jesus wasn't with them. Jesus wasn't with them. That is the fear, isn't it, of every parent to lose your child at the grocery store or somewhere where you're shopping. But Think about how Mary and Joseph must have felt. They didn't only lose their child, they lost the Son of God. Well, not to worry. As we know from the story, they went back to Jerusalem and they found Jesus. And he was teaching in the temple. He was just 12 years old. Well, they made their way back home, where for the next 20 years or more, according to Luke 2:52, quote, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men at the feet of his mother Mary and earthly father Joseph. So then we don't see Mary again until Jesus is in his early 30s. Joseph sadly has passed away by then. Mary is attending a wedding in Cana, along with Jesus and some of his friends. Mary's good friends are the hosts and are responsible for the wedding reception party. The celebration, as was tradition, was to go on for several days. But Mary noticed that her dear friends were beginning to run out of wine to serve the guests. And that was a huge social disgrace and embarrassment in that day. Just enormous disgrace. Mary loved her friends, and she just didn't want that to happen. So she turned to Jesus for help, the kind that Mary knew only Jesus could provide. Well, Jesus hesitated at first, but Mary showed unwavering belief as she instructed the servers to do whatever Jesus tells them to do at that moment. Well, ultimately, Jesus turned the water into wine, marking his first miracle. Liz Curtis Higgs, the author of the book, The Women of Easter, writes about this time in her book. She writes, Mary showed us something about herself at that point. She'd become a mature, self-assured woman over the years. No longer a young virgin, meek and mild, she had a faith honed by experience and expectation. She believed the prophecies about her son, and she believed in his calling. So like any other mother in any century, she encouraged him to use his gifts. Well, Mary shows up again as Jesus was teaching throughout the area of Galilee. And we see her in Jerusalem to once again celebrate the Feast of Passover, as all devout Jews did annually. This time, it would be very different, however. Jesus's teachings had ignited a firestorm with the religious leaders of the day. They thought Jesus was a false prophet, teaching blasphemy by claiming he was the Messiah, the Son of God. The Roman rulers, who were the governmental rule at the time, they just wanted the Jewish people to be respectful and not cause any trouble during the celebration week when so many people were in Jerusalem. But as we know, Jesus didn't come to make people comfortable. He came to proclaim the day of the Lord had come, that salvation over sin had come, and prophecy had been fulfilled in him. If the religious leaders and the governmental authorities were upset, well, that was their choice. Others were hungry for the truth that Jesus was teaching. Jesus had a mission to fulfill on behalf of his heavenly Father, to be the perfect, sinless sacrifice who would bear the sins of the world on the cross so that we would have a pathway to eternal life in heaven. That time had come. It was now. And Jesus' mother Mary was there. We read this in John 19. Starting in verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple John, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Well, Mary stayed with Jesus, her Savior, through the crucifixion, through the burial, through the resurrection, as we know. And we read, once again, from Liz Curtis Higgs in The Women of Easter, these thoughts, starting on 145. She writes, we can almost feel Mary's heart breaking and sense her thoughts, her emotions. Her sister was there, perhaps resting a hand on her shoulder, offering unspoken comfort. On this terrible day, worse than any she'd ever imagined, Mary no doubt drew strength from God above and from the women who remained by her side. As they stood at the cross, they didn't crouch in fear. They didn't turn their backs. They didn't slump on the ground in defeat. And they assuredly didn't walk away. They stood. And God calls us to do the same, to stand, to believe, to wait, to trust. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, so true. Help us, Lord, to stand and withstand. Help us to be strong, faithful, resolute, like Mary. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from the Lord today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this, please just pass it along to them. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me for details, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.